We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
Well, the story is all over the news. You can read about it any place. The headline locally says, those claiming to have no religion on the increase. Other study findings include a shifting Catholic population from the Northeast to the Southwest. Earlier today, I had an opportunity to talk with the director of the group that actually conducted this massive research into American religious life, Mark Silk, director of the Trinity College Program on Public Values based in Hartford, Connecticut. We began on the subject of whether or not this research shows any new trends.
Well, over the 20-year period, what we've seen is a very substantial increase in the number of people who say they have no religion. That is, you ask them, what is your religion, if any, and they say none. So we call them nuns.
None of the above.
None of the above. I think the other and the most striking new finding is the shift in the proportion of Catholics regionally. That is a considerable decline, quite striking decline in New England and the Northeast, and a real increase in the Southwest, Texas and California. California now has a higher proportion of Catholics by a sliver than New England does, and that's, you know, for anyone who follows where Catholics have tended to be in America, that's very, very striking.
Is it true that the nuns are, in fact, the fastest-growing religious group in the United States?
I think you'd have to say that, but it's a little bit tricky. I mean, it depends on how you define group. The nuns have doubled, and for a large religious group of people identified in one way, that's very striking. But, you know, one of the things that has, and I guess this is something that I should have mentioned a moment ago, there's been a huge growth, larger than that for the nuns, in the people who identify themselves as non-denominational Christians. Those people go from under 200,000 in 1990 to 2.5 million in 2001 to 8 million, over 8 million today. Now, who those people are, what does it mean to say? I mean, I think we have a pretty good idea that they're people who go to mega churches, who represent, I would say, the sort of cutting edge of non-Catholic Christianity in America. That is the sort of non-denominational Christian group. It's basically evangelical in a sort of generic evangelical way.
I'm curious about that. Were people asked to self-identify as non-denominational or other things, or were they asked their official religious affiliation?
Well, that's just the right question, and that's what makes this survey so useful. People are asked initially, what is your religion, if any? People, if they then say, I'm a Christian or I'm a non-denominational Christian, they get pushed to put themselves in a category. So, are you a Methodist? Are you Catholic? Are you something like that? And then if they refuse to be pushed, then they stay where they are. So, you know, if somebody says, I'm a Protestant, they say, well, what denomination? They say, well, no, I'm just a Protestant. That group, incidentally, of Protestants, which started out at 17 million, almost 10% of the population in 1990, is now just a bit over 2%. So Protestants as a generic category have disappeared. Non-denominational Christian, evangelical, born again, and just Christian have increased greatly.
I was talking recently with Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service, and he watches religion very carefully in the news.
Yeah, he sure does.
And he commented on the program that we're in a post-denominational age. Is that true?
I think, you know, where the action is in terms of significant growth in the Christian world in America, it is in the sort of non-denominational realm. And, you know, some of that is, I think, because the church growth people who work to help churches grow seem to to be persuaded, whether they've focus grouped it or surveyed it or just made it up, that you know, by observation, that Americans looking for a church are more attracted by something that just says East Cupcake Community Church than they are by saying Presbyterian or Baptist or Episcopalian. So you have, you know, a lot of people. Most Americans are in some denominational tradition or another, but you know, you do have the phenomenon of people who belong to churches that actually retain a denominational affiliation, but they don't know what it is.
Okay, then let's talk about the shift in Catholics, the geographic shift in Catholics. Is this also a demographic shift that we're observing here as a way for accounting for the apparent southwestward move of Roman Catholics?
Some of it has to do with that, with relocation of younger people out of the Northeast and into the Sun Belt, but I think more of it has to do with Latino immigration and increase. That the reason you get very large increases in the Catholic portion of the population in Texas and Los Angeles doesn't have to do with Rust Belt people moving there, who, you know, include all kinds of people, but Latino, and so it's part of the story of the Latinization of the Catholic Church, if you will.
Generally, those who identify themselves as Christian, how has that percentage shifted, if at all, in the new research?
Well, over the two decades, the proportion of Christians has shrunk from about 86%. Of people who self-identify as some kind of Christian or other to 76%. That's held constant, really, over this decade, and so you know, so it's sort of plateaued out, and that means that this is still a country which is, by self-identification, still very Christian, about as Christian as, say, India is Hindu.
What about the Muslims?
Muslims are, you know, sort of continue to rise as a proportion of the population, but from a very small base. Our surveys show them at 0.3% of the population in 1990 and 0.6%, so of having doubled over that nearly 20-year period. 0.6 is still small, and people in the Muslim community, I mean, sort of community leaders, think that that's too low a number, but multiple surveys by other folks than us, as well as us, do tend to show, you know, less than 1%, whether it's 5 or 6, or, you know, 0.5 or 0.6 or 0.4, depends on the survey. So I'd say, you know, Muslims are on the rise, but you know, at this point, there's, so far as we can tell, you know, half as many Muslims as Jews in America.
And then finally, you mentioned before the mainline Protestant denominations. What, in a nutshell, is the research showing about their numbers?
Well, they're the big losers. Their numbers are disappearing. Are shrinking now down to, you know, around 12%. I mean, the trend is not a surprise at all. People have been seeing, you know, the sort of shrinking of the mainline for a while. It does suggest to me these most recent numbers that the traditional way, at least past 30, 40 years, that we've thought of a two-party system of American Protestantism, of evangelicals and mainliners, that formulation is, you know, may really be due for retirement, and that what we have is a kind of normative evangelicalism as the American Protestant way, with a large niche, you know, in the sort of neighborhood of 10% for what looks like traditional mainline Protestantism. We'll see, but what characterizes, you know, evangelical religion is something that has sort of bedeviled surveyors for a long time. But if you think of, you know, people who do a certain kind of worship, who are doing praise songs, contemporary Christian worship, sort of acting in a kind of way, doing certain kinds of Bible studies, that they seem like evangelicals, and they call themselves non-denominational Christians, and they go to mega churches, and you know, that's seems to be the emergent Protestant way now, and they don't call themselves Protestants either.
What surprised you the most about this new survey?
I think it's the very strong shift of Catholics towards the Southwest, and the growth of secularity among the population in New England. That really has been very pronounced and striking, and it has some political implications as well. I mean, one of the things that's been most noticeable in looking at polling, you know, exit polling from elections over the past few election cycles is how strongly people of very low religious commitment have tended towards voting Democratic. I mean, in a way, following the tendency of the more observant people to vote Republican. I think these findings help explain why New England has become, you know, a sea of blue.
Mark Silk is director of the Trinity College Program on Public Values based in Hartford, Connecticut. Mark, thank you very much for your time.
Delighted to be here, Todd.
You know what strikes me about this? I mentioned this at the beginning, that the two fastest growing groups, not in terms of their overall size, but in terms of their percentage increase in the last decade or so, non-religious, none of the above, and non-denominational Christians. Now, I have no scientific evidence for this, but I think the growth of those two groups is probably related. People who do not want to commit themselves to any particular expression of their faith or non-faith. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.